A lawsuit filed by the state's attorney general last week, intended to get ineligible voters off the state's registration rolls, is scheduled to be heard in court soon, this Friday, I believe, and it's the subject of our discussion this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 7 on this Wednesday, September the 17th. We will hear from Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen in our next half hour. But we will start with a guest from a group that is concerned with his action. We asked the Government Accountability Board, the state's election agency, to provide a spokesperson to talk about this lawsuit, to react to it, and to find out why the board wasn't planning on checking voter registrations for accuracy dating back to January of 2006, which is the reason for the lawsuit. But we were told the board would not debate this issue in the media and that it would not be appropriate to comment on a pending lawsuit. So instead, we asked a guest from the League of Women Voters to join us. The League of Women Voters has some similar concerns. And we will welcome your thoughts, your questions, your reactions, wondering if you think that this lawsuit that the Attorney General filed makes sense or not. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Andrea Kaminsky is the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. The Attorney General says that the law is the law. The State Government Accountability Board is not complying with it by making sure that these names on the state's voter registration rolls are indeed eligible voters. What's wrong with him filing a lawsuit to force this to happen?
Well, the League of Women Voters opposes this because, first of all, it is not required by law, and we believe it will penalize voters who, at some time in their lives, had their data entered differently into two different databases. And the reason I say it's not required by law, the federal Help America Vote Act does require that we have a voter registration database, which we have, and that we do matching with other state databases. We are compliant with that as of August 6th when our software became fully functional. HAVA, that's the Help America Vote Act, does not specify what needs to be done with non-matches, and it does not require that these voters be relegated to provisional voting status, nor certainly that they be struck from the voter registration list.
Yeah. So, and talk about these non-matches. Apparently, a lot of this is because of just a typo in the name or something along those lines?
That's right. It can be a typo. It can be a hyphenated or two-word name like La Follette or Van Hollen. It can be, it can be a difference between if your name is Jonathan and you entered it somewhere along the line as John. It can be simple mistakes like that.
Yeah, but couldn't it also be someone who maybe fraudulently put down someone's name on voter registration? And as we heard in the news recently, that there were names and addresses that that didn't match real people.
It could be that's what we're checking for, and we are checking for that now. Since the software became functional, it is very unlikely that that's what it is. Right now, the Government Accountability Board has been checking, has been doing the checking, as I said, since August 6th, and 22% of the names have come up as having a problem. Four of six members of the Government Accountability Board, these are retired judges. They are nonpartisan. They're the people who, beginning last year, this board was formed to be a nonpartisan board that oversees our elections to ensure fairness. And four of six of these judges, who presumably have been voting since they came of age, came up and they failed the HAVA test. So, and the question, as you mentioned, really is how far back do we do the cross-checking now, between now and the election? Do we do it starting August 6th when it became a possibility, when it became functional, or do we go all the way back to January of 2006, which election officials, both at the Government Accountability Board and at the local level, are saying will be logistically impossible?
Yeah, that's what the Attorney General wants, it to go back to, what, January of 06.
Yeah.
So what is your fear if the Attorney General is successful with this lawsuit?
Well, as I said, people whose data don't match will be required to clear up that discrepancy before they vote, or they will be required to, or possibly their names will be struck from the registration list, and they'll have to go. These might be people who have been voting for decades, and they go to the polls, and the people who are there working know them, know that they're, you know, they know their neighbors, that they're eligible voters, but they won't be able to cast a regular vote unless they re-register. If they're lucky enough, they'll have their the correct ID with them and proof of residence. And then they'll have to get in another line and register, or they may have to, or if they don't have the ID with them, they'll have to come back either to the poll that day or by 4 o'clock to their clerk's office the day after the election. They have to come back and bring that proof of residence in order to have their vote count. That's harder for many people to do. It's hard for anyone to do, but it's harder for somebody who doesn't have transportation, may not have job flexibility, child care, elder care, whatever.
We are talking with Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, telling us why the League of Women Voters, concerned over a lawsuit that was filed last week by Wisconsin's Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, to force the Government Accountability Board to check voter registrations for accuracy to match them with another database. We wonder what you think, what questions you have, whether you agree or disagree that this could cause problems in Wisconsin and or could disenfranchise voters. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 17th. We will be talking with Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, for the rest of this half hour. And then after the news at 7:30, J.B. Van Hollen, Wisconsin's Attorney General, will join us to talk about this lawsuit that he filed in an effort, he says, to prevent voter fraud in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number. If you have a question or a reaction, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Andrea Kaminsky, what's your reaction to those who say, including J.B. Van Hollen, that we need to make sure that someone who is voting is eligible to vote, because if one ineligible voter casts a ballot in November, that, you know, that wipes out your vote or someone else's vote, and that's fraud, and that's not right.
We do have to be sure about that. That we do everything we can to eliminate illegal voting. At the same time, we need to make voting we need to make voting possible and, practically possible for as many voters as we can. We have, after the 2004 election, there were charges of thousands, even tens of thousands of irregularities that may have occurred in 2004. Well, there were state and federal and local investigations done, and they turned up only 3 cases of illegal voting. We're glad they turned those up, and those are being dealt with by law enforcement. But it is not in our best interest to keep people from voting, to put things, measures in place that will keep people from voting, just to make it impossible for one fraudulent vote to be cast. I might add that the three cases that were caught were a case of felons who voted inappropriately. Illegally. They should not have been voting. Felons don't have their voting rights restored until they are off papers. At that time, they can vote again.
Mm-hmm. After they're off probation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take some calls. Deborah in Franklin is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Quick question. Will people like me whose the address on my driver's license is different than where I'm registered to vote, is that going to be a problem for me and people like me? In other words, I have a license that's good for 10 years, and it has my old address, and I've moved since then.
Sure. Well, if you have voted since then and you've updated your address, that should be fine. But we are actually recommending that people bring, if they have a situation like that, bring proof of residence with you to the polls just in case. There's so much confusion this year, and we just want to make sure that everything goes smoothly. You can also, people can check their status of their registration, their voter registration online at the Voter Public Access website that the Government Accountability Board has. And that is a great place to check for, to find out if your registration is up to date.
Yeah. Say that site again.
It's called Voter Public Access. It's on the Government Accountability Board website.
Yeah. We did actually have a couple of emails along those lines. Bruce and Eau Claire wanted to know if there's a way you can check ahead of time that you are properly registered, and that's where you would go.
That's where you would go. The other thing is you could call your local clerk and find out.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Deborah, for the call. Ann in Marshfield is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a hyphenated name, and I checked when the suit was filed. I knew that my hyphen wasn't on the driver's license because it was when we moved to Wisconsin, they refused to put it on at the driver's license station. So ours is inconsistent between our voter registration, our legal name, and the driver's license. And I also looked at my Social Security statement, and the hyphen isn't there either. So we would be some of the people who, though we've been voting in Wisconsin for more than 20 years, would have the inconsistency in the records because of the refusal of a clerical person to put the hyphen in.
Yeah, and that's what's going on here is that the Government Accountability Board is supposed to check the voter registration database with the Department of Transportation database, Andrea?
That's correct. Yeah. Also, the Social Security database for people who don't have records in the DOT. And those hyphens are an issue because I at the last Government Accountability Board, clerks were saying, well, they were instructed to, when there are two words or a hyphen, just run it together with no hyphen, all one word, but that was causing mismatches. The clerks are very much against this rule, the ones that I heard, and I believe the Clerks Association has come out against it. But what they were saying at this meeting was, you know, what should we as clerks be doing in the next less than 2 months now before the election? Should we be recruiting and training poll workers, something that our state was just lauded for in a national study, the level of our poll worker training? Should they be doing that? Should they be sending absentee ballots overseas? Again, that's something that's been in the news lately. Or should they be cross-checking typos in a database?
Yeah. Well, why? It's not like they have to, you know, go name by name. Doesn't a computer do that?
Well, the computer shows them where there are mismatches. Then they have somebody go through, or they go through themselves, depending on, you know, the municipality. And if it is something like a hyphen, they can figure out. But you've got somebody going through a database here, one by one, one record by one record.
Yeah. So that's why you say that that this cannot be done between now and November 4th?
Well, this is what the Government Accountability Board and the local clerks are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I agree with, I mean, I know I agree with them that we would rather have them recruiting and training poll workers and getting absentee ballots to our people who are overseas.
Kathy in Catawba is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I had a couple of examples of why I think it's a foolish idea. I had just gotten two mailings from the McCain campaign on the absentee ballots. One had my first name misspelled, but the address was correct. The other one had my name spelled correctly, but it only had a post office box address, and I certainly don't live at the post office.
Hmm. So you received that the absentee ballots from
right.
the John McCain campaign.
Right, two different ones. And then my son, they also sent one here to my son, who had just graduated from college less than 2 years ago, and he lived at home, and then he got a job, and he lived at a different. He's lived in one apartment, and now he's changed addresses and moved, you know, to another location in the same town, in that same town. But
It certainly is. It is. It's. I can imagine it's very hard to have all these names straight and typos erased. Andrea Kaminsky, but. Help me understand, and everybody understand, why the federal government says this is supposed to be the case, yet we're saying it can't be done.
Well, many states don't have their databases up and running and matching and so forth at this point. And it's a matter of, at this point, we are doing the matching. We are compliant. We will continue to do the matching and to straighten out all of these errors in the databases, but to do it between now and the election will only cause confusion for voters and election officials alike. And in the meantime, we're trying to instruct voters what to do about things like the mailings that the last caller mentioned.
Yeah, what to do about that?
Yeah, and what we say to do is do not send those applications for absentee ballots in, because chances are from that mailing went out, and in many cases the address of the local clerk that's on the back of the card is incorrect.
Yeah, we only have a minute to go with you, Andrea. Do you have any reaction to all the other lawsuits, that the counter lawsuits being filed to try to stop the Attorney General's lawsuit?
Only we have our position that we are opposed to a last-minute rule change that stands to throw our election into disarray, and I also hope that. In the meantime, voters should not be scared away from voting. They should not, and people who are deputy registrars should continue to register voters and make sure that you get complete information from them, that you write legibly and send those registrations in. We want, we don't have a democracy if we don't have people participate.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Andrea Kaminsky is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then after that, welcome in J.B. Van Hollen, Wisconsin's Attorney General. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, September the 17th. Welcoming your questions now for Wisconsin's Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, about this lawsuit against the state's elections agency, the Government Accountability Board, to force the board to check the state's voter registration rolls for accuracy. It's a lawsuit that has been met with an outcry, a protest from groups including the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. J.B. Van Hollen, Wisconsin's Attorney General, joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why did you file this lawsuit?
Well, it's real simple. When I was running for Attorney General, and since I became Attorney General, I made it quite clear that we weren't going to let policy decisions or my personal opinion on the appropriateness of a given law interfere with our job to enforce the law in the state of Wisconsin. And here we have a very clear case that the federal law, which was adopted by the state, says that these HAVA checks need to be done. And we have a government agency who's basically saying, no, we won't do it. And I think we set a real poor example when we go after ordinary citizens who violate the law, yet we let government agencies substitute their judgment for the law. Not to mention the fact that obviously having fair elections certainly shouldn't be a partisan issue, and it's something that's very, very important. It's an underpinning of our entire society and our method of government, and we want to make sure that if the federal government passes a law that says we need to do this to ensure fair elections, that we enforce that law.
Yeah, we did ask the Government Accountability Board to talk with us about this issue, but they said it wouldn't be appropriate given the legal action. It is my understanding, though, that they're saying we've been doing this since August 6th when we worked out the kinks in this database, but there's no time between now and November 4th to do this, so go back a couple of years.
Well, and I know you've had a prior guest who says that, yes, the clerks, municipal clerks, are against the system and this and that. We've actually gotten a lot of praise from quite a number of municipal clerks who say this will be quite easy for them to do and should be something they can handle without much difficulty. But the reality of it all is that it's not for me to determine whether the law was wise or prudent. It's for me to determine that make sure that the law is enforced. And the Government Accountability Board says, yes, we have been doing this back to August 6th of this year. But the law says they have to do it back to January 1st of 2006. So there's a lot of discussion that I've heard from my opponents who say that, well, it is being complied with. Well, the reality is it's not. Complying with it for a month versus the year and a half or year and two-thirds prior to that is not one and the same thing.
Yeah. The argument is made, though, that you can go back those 2 years and then you'll find these typos or mistakes with hyphenated names or various quirks that these are not ineligible voters, but just simple mistakes, and we're going to really cause a whole hubbub over this because of typos. Is it really worth it?
Well, we won't cause the hubbub. That's the important part, Joy, that I think your listeners really need to know about, and we need to spread the message around the state. I'm used to having my opponents. I'm in a political office, and everything you do, you're going to have people who are on the other side of the issue. What I think the distaste I have the most for the people who are opposed to our lawsuit here is that they're the ones who are really disenfranchising the voters. The reality is before this lawsuit and before the Help America Vote Act, you could always show up at the polls, show proof of residence, or have somebody who did vouch for you and vote. And if you didn't have that, cast a provisional ballot. That was always the law, and it's one of the more open registration laws in the nation, so we certainly don't disenfranchise voters here in Wisconsin. That law is the same, and nothing about the lawsuit changes that. Everybody who is entitled to vote will still be able to vote, and they'll be able to do it with just as much ease as they have in the past. If people don't show up at the polls or don't vote absentee ahead of time, it's going to be because of the misinformation that other people are putting out about this lawsuit, not really the facts about the lawsuit.
Yeah. Any other facts about the lawsuit that you think need to be cleared up that have been out there that aren't true?
Well, it's been overcomplicated. It's very simple. The reality is the law requires the Government Accountability Board in this case to go back to January 1st, 2006 to do these HAVA checks. It does not dictate what they have to do after they run these checks other than try to make sure we have an accurate database for voters. There's a lot of discussion that this says that there are people who aren't going to be able to vote or things along those lines, or I'm dictating what the Government Accountability Board has to do with regards to their HAVA checks, and none of that is true. We're simply asserting the state's right to enforce the law to protect the people. And beyond that, the Government Accountability Board is going to have a great amount of discretion in how they implement the Help America Vote Act.
Yeah. Sasara in Madison emails this question. Why didn't Attorney General Van Hollen bring this up a year ago when there was more time to check the lists?
Well, unfortunately, Government Accountability Board didn't refuse to do this a year ago. We still believed that they would be. We had no reason to believe that they wouldn't follow the law. You expect another government agency will follow the law and won't substitute their judgment for it. When they started meeting as a Government Accountability Board and discussing this issue, we sent them a letter indicating what the law is and what we would hope and expect they would do. And it wasn't until they told us, no, we're not going to follow the law, that we were really in a position where we realized we had to do such a thing to force their hand and make sure that they did what the law required them to do.
Please answer your critics who say that this is a partisan lawsuit and you have a conflict of interest because you are co-chair of the John McCain campaign in Wisconsin.
This accusation has, I have always found to be very, very remarkable. I can't imagine what's partisan about asking for fair elections, about doing what we can to reduce, if not eliminate, voter fraud. The reality is I have never seen evidence to show that the majority of fraud is caused by Democrats or Republicans. I would think we would all want to eliminate voter fraud, but for some reason, our desire to proceed with this lawsuit to hopefully reduce voter fraud has drawn the ire of the Democrat Party and others similarly aligned with them. They've made it a partisan issue, and I don't know why, because this should be about as nonpartisan an issue as there is.
Let's take some calls. Eric in Milwaukee joins us first. Hi, Eric. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Mr. Van Hollen, I'm wondering how you, as the state's attorney general, can continue to spread the Republican lies about so-called voter fraud, even after Steve Biskupic, who's the Republican U.S. attorney that was appointed by President Bush, has confirmed that there's no such voter fraud in Wisconsin.
Well, Steve Biskupic did say that he didn't believe there was any widespread voter fraud in Wisconsin. And I think Steve is a phenomenal United States attorney. We get along very well, but I don't agree with him on this issue. I've seen considerable evidence. The Milwaukee Police Department has provided considerable evidence of widespread voter fraud. And our biggest problem is because we want everybody who's entitled to vote in Wisconsin, and we have registration laws that are very permissive of that, it makes the catching and prosecution of voter fraud very difficult. But I have no doubt in my mind that there is widespread voter fraud. And the reality is if there is one instance of voter fraud, that's one instance too many. We try too hard to get people to get out and vote in this country and in this state, and to suppress their vote by virtue of having one that's invalid canceling it out, I think is a horrible problem.
Thanks to Eric in Milwaukee. Now Eric in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my question is, where is the staff going to come from to do this, and who is going to pay for it?
Yeah, well, those are decisions that are going to have to be made by the Government Accountability Board and the municipal clerks. I'm the first to admit that there are a lot of burdens that we have to undertake because of laws that mandate, funded or unfunded, the state government or local government to do certain things. Once again, I think it's important to know that this is not a law that I passed. This is a law that was passed by the Congress of the United States of America and then also passed by the state of Wisconsin, and they gave the Government Accountability Board the power and authority to enforce it. So if there is an argument about the prudence of the law, the argument should have been made and argued before Congress and the legislature. They passed the law. The reality is now is the state government and local municipalities are obligated by virtue of the Congress and the legislature to find a way to enforce this law.
I saw an editorial cartoon in the paper the other day, Attorney General Van Hollen, that showed the voter registration system in Wisconsin as a character with a hangnail. And you were the character with a chainsaw that was going to fix this problem. Are you taking a chainsaw to a hangnail?
Oh, once again, how you determine what a hangnail is a very, very important issue. Obviously, if you have a sliver in your finger, it may be minor. If you have a sliver in your eye, it's very significant. In this case, we may have a sliver in the eye. This voter fraud undermines our entire system of government. I can understand why Congress and the state chose to act on this issue. And it's not for me to determine whether they should act on the issue or not. Once again, I reiterate, it's my job to enforce the law. As Attorney General, people who claim that I've been partisan will have to stand up and admit that I've interpreted and enforced the law many times that don't align with my political leanings, and nobody claimed that I was partisan at those times. The reality is it's not what I like that determines what I enforce. It's what other people have enacted.
We're going to take a short weather break and then more calls for our guest, Wisconsin's Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we will welcome in the author of September Songs, The Good News About Marriage in the Later Years. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, the rest of this hour with J.B. Van Hollen about his lawsuit against the Government Accountability Board to force the board to check the state's voter registration rolls for accuracy. However, the Government Accountability Board and some others, including the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, are jumping on board here to try to stop your lawsuit that's going to be heard in court today. Are you going to be defending your lawsuit today?
Well, our office certainly will be. Mm. I obviously have a number of other obligations that I have to participate in. I will be certainly available, and I'm in consultations with my office, but we do have an entire law firm within the office that handles these issues.
Then the full-fledged lawsuit was going to come up as soon as this Friday?
Well, it's hard to determine for certain. We're certainly hoping so. Obviously, this is an issue where timeliness is vitally important. If this is something that, as I believe has been requested, be stayed until after the elections, then it proves the lawsuit to be relatively pointless. So we're asking that it be expedited by the court. Hopefully, they will do so.
Governor Doyle in the news today saying to Sean Johnson, our reporter, that you should leave it to election officials to decide how to run the state's voter database. The governor says it's problematic to taxpayers when you have one state agency, the Department of Justice, suing another. Among his concerns, your reaction?
It is problematic when one state agency has to sue another. We wish all state agencies would abide by the law. Governor Doyle knows all too well, though, having been attorney general and sued one state agency himself, and as governor, having authorized the beginnings of a lawsuit from one of his own cabinet agencies against another of his cabinet agencies, of which he is the head of both. He understands that there are times where it's necessary. There are times where our jobs as heads of executive agencies require us to make sure that the law is enforced and followed. And it's unfortunate that that has to occur in this case. But as long as the Government Accountability Board refuses to follow the law, I really feel like I have no choice.
Yeah. So he went on to say you have 6 judges on the accountability board. They're not Democrats or Republicans. They're nonpartisan. They made a nonpartisan decision on how to proceed, and we should live with that.
Once again, I don't know who is making this a partisan issue. Our decision to sue is nonpartisan as well. The decision, however, to not abide by the law, which was made by the Government Accountability Board, is not an issue of judgment for them to make. They are 6 retired judges. They can't make a decision that interprets accurately the law. Only the courts are going to be able to say, no, this law does not have to be applied here, or yes, this law does have to be applied here.
Bill in Wauwatosa, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, and I'm so pleased to see that an elected official is actually willing to stand up and enforce the law. If the Democrat Party in Wisconsin doesn't want this pursued, then it's evidence to me that they endorse voter fraud. And in the 2000 election, I guess it was in Florida, teams of attorneys were sent by the Democratic DNC, Democratic National Committee, to kill the vote of incoming absentee vote from U.S. military personnel overseas. Do you have any evidence of that this year?
Do you know what he's referring to?
No, right now we're not in a position where we do have evidence of that. The problem that we have, Bill, unfortunately, is that most evidence of voter fraud, voter suppression, other things, doesn't come in until after the elections when it's too late. I believe I heard somebody say, and I don't know who to attribute this to, that why don't we just let everybody vote and we sort it out after the fact? Well, the reality is we can't. Once the votes are counted, the votes are counted, and we can't have somebody elected and then later throw out the votes and unelect somebody. It's much easier to have an ounce of prevention than to try to have the pound of cure later. So right now, we don't know what voter fraud may or may not exist in this coming election. We do know that we've had some problem with special registration deputies, so there's been some indication that there is going to be some voter fraud, or at least was going to be, and it's very important that we be preventative like we are in any other way.
Joe Winicky, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, was saying that your action is hypocritical in that you're suing the Government Accountability Board over this database issue, yet not doing anything about John McCain's campaign sending absentee ballots to the wrong addresses in Wisconsin? Your reaction?
Well, certainly, if they can show our office and they can file a complaint with our office, which everybody is entitled to do, to show what Wisconsin law was violated by whom, those are things that we will investigate and look into prosecuting, just like we have in this particular case. There is no exclusion. To the best of my knowledge, we have not received any such complaint pointing out what Wisconsin law was violated. I anticipate that if he believes there is such a thing, that he will be forwarding something to our office.
Next, we go to Patrick in DeForest. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to ask Attorney General Van Hollen how he responds to the striking down of these matching practices in other states, as after being ruled that they're not accurate and basically eliminate more. More eligible voters than they might eliminate ineligible voters.
I'm sorry, Patrick. I'm not following you.
I don't fully follow the question, but I think I know what he's driving at. There are really two aspects of the Help America Voter Act that we're talking about here. The first is that it's required under the law for the state agency, in this case, the Government Accountability Board, to conduct the HAVA checks. That's the first thing, is you actually compare the registration that was submitted in writing or through special registration deputies to other databases like the driver's licenses in Wisconsin. That is what is required, and that's what we're suing to make sure happens back to January 1st of 2006. The next step is in the Government Accountability Board determining what, if anything, they're going to do with these cases where there aren't matches. That's an area where the law gives them great discretion. That is the area where other states have determined that they are not going to do as much because there are typographical errors. That is the area where the Government Accountability Board in Wisconsin is, rightfully under the law, going to have the ability to decide what to do and what not to do. What the law simply requires is that they do something to make sure we have valid lists. So doing nothing is not acceptable. It may be that in Wisconsin, once this lawsuit is over, that the Government Accountability Board chooses to do less with this as well. They are the ones, however, at least back to August, have decided to do more with regards to these lists. The procedure they set up is the one that causes these comparison and has shown these errors in, I think, like 22% of the cases so far.
An email from Tina in Oshkosh who says, Andrea Kaminsky, the guest from the League of Women Voters who we spoke to in our first half hour, said there were three cases of voter fraud, but you are saying voter fraud is widespread. How widespread is it? Where does this information come from? I remember Andrea Kaminsky, I don't remember her saying exactly three, but that in some of the cases it was like a couple of felons who voted when they shouldn't have because they were still on probation.
Well, first of all, if there were only three, three is too many. Once again, you know, how many homicides is few enough that we don't want to enforce the statutes against homicides? The reality is they're important statutes and we need to enforce them. But I have also had a chance to look at considerable registration data and read the from prior elections and read the Milwaukee Police Department report that convinces me that there has been extensive registration and voter fraud over the last several elections. The problem is, however, is that we did very little to prevent that voter fraud in Wisconsin. And after the fact, tracking down these people and being able to collect the evidence to prosecute them is very, very difficult. So there has really been nothing in the law that's brought these cases to light after the fact because it's difficult to do.
Let's go to Jean in Eau Claire. I think we have time for Jean. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. In the most important election of my lifetime, because I support change, I want to know, sir, how do I register to vote? I am totally disabled and homebound, and I have recently moved. I have not changed my driver's license, and I would like to know how do I vote, because I want my vote to count. And previously, I have voted absentee ballot. I was in a small town. They knew me when I came with a mask on, and my vote never got there, so I have to go in person. Now, I want to know, and I want you to tell me, how am I going to vote? How do I register to vote where nobody knows me?
you can register at the polls, correct?
Correct. The law hasn't changed at all, Jean. You can still register at the polls with a form of ID as you always have been able to. I would also strongly encourage you to update the address on your driver's license, because that's another Wisconsin law that requires that to be done. I really hope you get out there and vote, and all you have to do is bring some proof of identification, whether it be your utility bill where you live now. You can vote and register when you move just as easily now as you always could, and I hope you get out there and do that.
Yeah, I know she said she was disabled and had other issues here, but we really don't have time to go into all of that right now. We have less than a minute to go. It's people like Jean that the Democratic Party and others are afraid we're going to be disenfranchising the elderly, the poor, those who will show up at the polls and find out that they're not registered because of this database cleansing.
Yeah, and I don't see that happening. Once again, they have the ability to register as they always have, and nothing in our lawsuit changes that. If they're scared away by the people who are opposing this lawsuit, that's very, very unfortunate. We must remember that what we're doing is not changing the voter laws in Wisconsin. We're looking to force the Government Accountability Board to follow the law and conduct HAVA checks. That does not affect our elections negatively. It just makes sure that we have a fair ballot.
We'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for coming in and talking with our callers.
Thank you.
J.B. Van Hollen, Wisconsin's Attorney General. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.